Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley with you again, where we are rediscovering new life in Jesus, new life in His Church, and the new life that He has come to bring. Make sure, by the way, just so you know, if you still want to listen to some of the past episodes, they are well worth listening to because of the fantastic guests that we have on and how they give testimony to how the Lord is working in and around our local church here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Just go to archspm.org and type Rediscover in the search bar, and it will come up with some of the most recent episodes, and you can even access our main page there that has a whole list of episodes going back months that you can listen to the Rediscover Hour. You can peruse and find your favorite guests and topics and take a listen to them as well. We are coming up this weekend on the 30th. That's right, Sunday of Ordinary Time, which means we are deep into Ordinary Time. We are getting on near, boy, dare I say, at the end of the liturgical year, which is, it's pretty exciting. We keep on moving through the liturgical year, and we're out there somewhere is, one of my favorite liturgical seasons of all time. Advent is not too far away, but we never should wish time away. So as we look at this Sunday's Gospel reading, we are still in the Gospel of Luke, as we are in the lectionary cycle C. So Luke is still our main evangelist for this year, this liturgical year. And this is a very well-known parable to many of us. It is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector and the Pharisee. And so these two are the ones who stand before God and in an attitude supposedly of prayer, and the Pharisee compares himself and thanks God that he's not like this tax collector, and he sets up all the ways that he is quote-unquote succeeding in this spiritual life and how the tax collector is failing, and yet the tax collector stood off at a distance, St. Luke tells us, and would not even raise his eyes to heaven but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The core prayer of what we know as the Jesus Prayer, it's one of the forms of penitence or penance that we offer in the sacrament of confession as well. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it's just a way in which Jesus continues to tell us that he is there to give mercy. And when we approach him with that heart that's open to mercy, recognizing our own need for mercy, those are the types of people that the Lord responds so generously with, that he reaches out beyond what we can ask or imagine, as St. Paul puts it, and gives us all that we need and so much more, things that we might not even realize that we desire, but as he pours them out into our lives, we can receive them with gratitude and recognize that he always has our best interest in mind. But what else is going on here in this parable? I guess a question that I would have for you is, what are you consuming in terms of ideas, in terms of thoughts, in terms of conversations, in terms of even the things that we see on our devices, whether that be our televisions, that we listen to on our radio, that we access on our phones or tablets? What are we consuming, and how does whatever we are consuming, how does it set up in terms of how we regard others? Does it set up to love and help others? Does it kind of foster that mentality in and amongst us? Or does it encourage us to differentiate ourselves from others? I think there's a lot of money to be made these days in pointing out who's against you and why they're against you. I think a lot of the secular world these days kind of plays on that. They play on this, here's who's against you, and here's why they're against you, and here's why you should be against them. We have to be really careful of that, folks, because as we set ourselves up in those ways, if we keep feeding that understanding of I am against this person, it's going to, not only is it going to be injurious to those around us, but it's also going to set us up in opposition to the gospel of Christ, and to live like Christ lived. Jesus said about, in this parable, about the tax collector, he said, yeah, he's the one who went home justified, not the Pharisee. For, famous line here, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And you know what? Humility is not just, it's not just on our own. It's not just about, our own kind of setting ourselves up in a position of humility towards God, but it's also our setting ourselves up in a position of humility towards others as well, right? It's against this boasting, you know, saying that, God, I'm thankful that I am better than this person because X, Y, and Z. Why? Because boasting, again, sets ourselves up against others. So anyway, that's my thought for today in the upcoming gospel lesson, just reminding ourselves that we need to feed ourselves with things that will encourage us to love, support, and help others, not to differentiate ourselves from them in ways that would set ourselves above others. But as St. Paul reminds us, in all humility, we should consider others better than ourselves, and we should look not only to our own needs, but also to the needs of others. All right, so that's my little thought for the day today. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour on the show today, we have Father Chad Van Hooses with us, pastor of St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, and he's got some really exciting stuff to share for us about an actual relic of St. Jude that's coming to their, or if you're of that parish, coming to your parish. We also have Anne-Marie Hansen, who's the president and founder of Gianna Home. She's with us to talk about long-term, late-in-life care and memory care as well. And then a little bit later on, I'm excited about this, we'll be talking with Dr. Mary Healy on the phone, who is the professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And she's coming to town to talk at the CCRO, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office's conference. So we're going to talk to her about all the things she'll be talking about. But at the top of the show, as always, let's commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now in studio is Father Chad Van Hoos, who's the pastor of St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi. He was formerly the parochial vicar of All Saints in Lakeville, and he's a member of the priestly fraternity of the Companions of Christ. Father, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you with us. All right, so there's a whole bunch of things going on that we want to talk about St. Jude and about this wonderful relic that you actually brought in studio with you today, which I'm very pleased about. Thank you for doing that. But first of all, let me just check in. How are things going in St. Jude of the Lake?
Things have been amazing at St. Jude of the Lake. I've been there just over 3 months now. Have just been finding all the people to be very delightful and warm and welcoming. It's always hard for a priest to switch assignments, but this has been a very easy transition for me. I still love the people from my past assignment, but have just been received with open arms by the people of St. Jude's.
Yeah, very good. I've been out to St. Jude's a few times, and it's a really nice location, nice place. It's Matamidi, which is a beautiful little suburb, but it doesn't really feel like a suburb. It feels like a rural community almost.
Yeah, we're just there on the east side of White Bear Lake, and there's lots of beautiful nature, and it's a great location. I found it very welcoming.
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Glad things are going well there. All right, so before we get into the relic and all that, a great celebration, tell us a little bit about, what do we know about St. Jude? Because we're going to be celebrating his feast day here. So, what do we know about St. Jude?
Well, St. Jude, of course, was one of the 12 apostles. We celebrate his feast day along with St. Simon the Zealot. It's the feast day of St. Simon and Jude. They're paired together because of their martyrdom. So presumably they were killed for the faith together, and they're buried together in St. Peter's Basilica in the same tomb. And so they share this birthday into eternity together, and so we pair them, two of the 12 apostles. Specifically with Jude, we know a little more than Simon. Simon the Zealot, we don't have any recorded words from him in sacred scripture. He certainly is a very obscure figure, but one of the 12 chosen by Jesus. Jude, we know a little bit more. We call him St. Jude Thaddeus. We presume Thaddeus was a nickname, and that he's He's often called the patron of impossible causes or, yes. or lost causes.
Right.
Presumably, this is because of his name. He shares the name with the betrayer, Judas, one of the 12.
I never put that together.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
This is, in my research, this is what I've come to discover, that Jude shared the same name with Judas. And so in the decades and centuries that followed the time of Christ and the apostles, people were reticent to call upon the name of Judas.
Mm-hmm.
He was known as the betrayer. And so when people would call upon the intercession of the saints, Jude would often be one of the last ones that they would call upon.
Interesting.
Because that name Judas, you know, certainly has a negative meaning for the early church and for us even in these centuries.
We Catholics are funny people.
Yeah.
Right? When we've reached the end of our rope and it doesn't seem like any of the other saints are helping me, all right, I guess it's to St. Jude we go, right? Okay.
And presumably he became a powerful intercessor that when people counted down, maybe starting at Peter all the way down to Jude,
right.
they'd finally say, well, this seems to be an impossible, a lost cause. I'll call on St. Jude, and he would come through for them. And so, especially in the last 100 years, Jude has kind of had a reemergence of popularity for people who are or desperate in their situations. Maybe it's the health of a loved one. Maybe it's their own health or some dire situation in their family. So they call upon St. Jude, the patron of lost causes. Even in our own country, of course, we're familiar with St. Jude's Medical Center. And they take him as their patron for these very dire situations for children and their health. So that's what we know about St. Jude. He was one of the 12. He does have one line in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper. He asks Jesus, why did you come just for this small group of people and not for the whole world? But in that, Jesus actually opens himself up to the whole world. And Jude, along with Simon, went out and ministered primarily to the Gentiles, those outside of the family of Israel. And so this is the one line that we have from Jude in Sacred Scripture, asking about all of the others. Jesus, did you come for them too? And Jesus does affirm, yes, I came to save all. I came to give my life for the salvation of the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Is there a linkage between the apostle and the author of the epistle?
It depends on who you ask.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, there are a couple of Judes in Scripture, and one being the author of the Epistle of Jude, one of the shortest books in the whole of Scripture. And it's believed that maybe it was the same person, but maybe not.
Okay.
And so there's nothing conclusive, I think, either way. So some Catholics believe it is, some Catholics believe that it isn't.
Probably not. The salvation of the world isn't
riding on
that one. All right.
It's still divinely inspired, and
absolutely.
So it's definitely fruitful for our lives.
Wonderful. Okay, so the feast day of St. Simon and Jude is this Monday, October 28th. Mm-hmm. It's coming up quickly, but I understand you're actually transferring that feast to Saturday. Can you do that?
Yeah. A pastor of a church can transfer the feast day, especially Monday's my day off, and so we wouldn't usually have a Mass on Monday. And so we're transferring
Perfect.
It to Saturday.
Okay.
So it can be a big celebration for the whole parish. And this year is unique. We're celebrating 80 years as a parish there in Matamidi.
Nice.
So it's a big milestone for us as a parish. And my predecessor, Father Corey Rolfing, before I arrived, he brought forward the high altar to be used at all the Sunday Masses, and it was reconsecrated. And the idea for Father Rolfing was to obtain a first-class relic of St. Jude. We never had one at the parish, and he wanted to put that in the altar. But as priests move on, you don't always get to accomplish everything that you set out to do. And so even in my first months, he told me this, and I started looking.
Yeah.
And I have a connection with some of the sisters in Rochester, the Franciscan sisters there at Assisi Heights. And when visiting them one time, I looked, and they have these reliquary cabinets, and I saw Jude Thaddeus.
No.
And so I asked the sisters, I told them, you know, we're the only parish in the whole state of Minnesota named after St. Jude.
Is that right?
That's correct. And I don't think, and there's not one for St. Simon the Zealot either. So in the whole state of Minnesota, this is the feast day for our parish in a particular way. And I asked the sisters if we could have that relic in promise that we would pray for them. and that we would install it into our altar for the sacrifice of the Mass. And they were happy to agree to give us the relic. And so one of the successors of the apostles, of Jude and all the apostles, Archbishop Hebda, will be coming to our parish on Saturday the 26th.
Yeah.
And he'll be celebrating the 5 p.m. Vigil Mass with us. We'll celebrate as the Feast of Simon and Jude. And during that Mass, he'll install this first-class relic of the Apostle Jude into our altar.
Wow, wonderful. So that means that if you're listening here on Friday night or on Saturday, right, you still have time to make it to St. Jude of the Lake in Mata Mede for the 5 p.m. anticipatory Mass and the installation of this relic into the altar by Archbishop Hebda.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I'm just, do we have any idea what the relic is? Is it like a bone fragment?
Yeah, I have the documentation, and okay. It says it's bone. Yeah,
it is
so
bone.
This is bone from the body of St. Jude, that most of his major relics are in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome.
Sure.
There's also a large relic in Chicago. It's where the National Shrine of St. Jude is in our country. And we have just a fragment of bone from this holy apostle.
Right. So I'm just curious, did you have this conversation with Archbishop Hebda? I mean, when did he come into the picture? Did you already obtain the relic before you approached him?
Yes, once I obtained the relic, I reached out to the bishops and asked if one of them would be willing to come to celebrate the feast day with us.
Right. So, okay, this is just my curiosity that maybe nobody else has, but I'm just, how do you install the relic in the altar? I mean, what happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. When the altar was rededicated, there's just an empty chamber.
Okay.
It's maybe 4 inches by 2 inches, and it has a removable top. And so when you open it now, there's nothing in there.
Huh.
And so during the course of the Mass, after the homily, there will be a litany of the saints, calling upon all of the saints of the church. An archbishop will say a prayer and then just very simply place the relic into the altar. We're not going to cover it permanently. Oftentimes you'll see that a stonemason will come in and cement up the relic. What's preferred now is that when you install a relic into an altar, you make it so that you can remove it once a year for veneration.
Mm.
And so we're going to do that. We have a parishioner who works with marble countertops, and he's going to fix us a plexiglass top for the altar so that you'll be able to see the relic even if you can't remove it. And then we'll have screws that will secure it in place but can be removed once a year for our feast day.
Nice, nice. All right. So my curiosity is satiated. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. No, just these things that you don't often encounter. And So St. Jude, I mean, obviously the patron saint of your parish, and that he's been, I mean, obviously one of the apostles as well. And but in the whole scope of veneration of relics and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. This was something completely new, and perhaps we've got people listening who don't really understand, why do we venerate relics? Why are relics so important? Why do we put them in our altars and that sort of thing?
So the relics of these holy saints were always preserved in the early years of Christianity. When Christians wanted to gather to pray, they would often gather at the tombs of the martyrs. And so in the catacombs of Rome or other places throughout the ancient world, they would gather in these places as a community, and they would celebrate the highest prayer of the church, the Mass. And so they would pray the Mass in these places, either in a home church or at the tombs of the saints. And they would often celebrate the Mass right over the tomb of this holy person as an inspiration to them. We recognize that these are the mortal remains of the saint, and that the saint will be reunited with their body. But we would hold and preserve the bones of the saints and their mortal remains as precious. We would never worship the saints. Mm-hmm. We would never worship even their mortal remains. But we venerate, we honor them, that they received the Lord in a special way. And so they're an inspiration to us. We want to receive the Lord in that same way. And so when we're close to the physical remains of a saint, we're close to them physically and we're close to them spiritually, asking them to intercede for us and to give us that divine grace through Christ, that we would be saints as well.
And there's something about having it in the altar that is used for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because At every Mass, the entire church is present, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we're taught? So
correct.
They are present there.
Yes, it's
with
the
us.
Communion of saints.
Right.
And here we, St. Jude's, will now have a very close, approximate closeness with our patron.
Are the sisters from Rochester coming for the...
No, I haven't heard, but I'm going to send them some photos of the ceremony.
Yeah. So just so I'm clear, you're transferring the feast day of St. Simon and Jude mm-hmm.
to
Saturday instead of Monday, mm-hmm. right? So you can have the day off.
Correct. And so that more people can enjoy
yes, of course,
the feast
yes.
day.
I'm
of course.
Sure that's the primary.
That's the primary.
Right. What's your tea time again? No, I'm just kidding. So you're transferring that. So all the prayers that we use for the Mass will be from
for Simon and Jude.
Simon and
yes.
Jude. All right, so here's my liturgically correct mm-hmm. mind at work. So if I come to the 5 p.m. Mass and mm-hmm. all the prayers are for Simon and Jude, mm-hmm. have I still fulfilled my Sunday obligation?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Just
check it. All right, it does count. All right,
yes.
Very good. All right, so I think this is an exciting thing. Again, it's going to be on Saturday the 26th.
Correct.
At 5 p.m., mm-hmm. St. Jude of the Lake in Matamida, a beautiful church, beautiful setting for this installation of the relic of St. Jude in the main altar there in the parish. Your predecessor, Father Corey Rolfing, mm-hmm. was the one who was thinking this up, and then you, mm-hmm. God gave you the grace to go and find this relic. So,
yes.
Father, I'm touched. I hope that everything goes well. I hope that lots and lots of people show up. But it's a real boost to the faith of your members of your parish as
mm-hmm.
well. I think it's an excellent celebration that will happen there. Before we let you go, Father, could you offer all of us a prayer and a blessing, especially as we have the relic here with us of St. Jude.
Sure, and I actually have a prayer here on the back of a holy card with St. Jude on it, so I'll
Perfect.
Offer this prayer to St. Jude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Jude, as patron of our parish, you are with us in all that is new. May your path of hope be ours in the days ahead. We promise in faith to share your hope without others, to forgive as we are forgiven by our Heavenly Father, and to show kindness, sympathy, and love at every opportunity. Guide us, St. Jude, so that we begin each new day with gratitude on our lips, with truth on our minds, and hope in our hearts. Challenge us, St. Jude, that we may end each day reflecting on our actions and motivations, so that we will grow in faith, love, and hope. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. St. Jude,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Chad Van Hoos, pastor of St. Jude of the Lake in Matamida, I thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick. It was a pleasure.
All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got Anne Marie Hansen from Gianna Homes, who's going to talk to us about end-of-life and memory care. Stay with us. Rediscover.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date, or worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Kendra Turner, 763-442-8711, or visit us on the web at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
That music will get you up and going. I love it. All right. Thank you, Paul, for some great bump music. Now joining me in studio, Anne Marie Hansen, who's the president and founder of Gianna Homes, a residential care home for Alzheimer's and other memory loss patients since 1999. Anne Marie serves on several nonprofit boards as a lifelong volunteer and, if I may say so, a good personal friend as well. Anne Marie, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Oh, good morning, Patrick. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, now she moved to Wisconsin. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's right. I'm across the border in God's country. All right, so we don't need to go there. All right. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Gianna Homes. So why don't you introduce us firstly to the mission of Gianna Homes, and how did this whole idea come about?
Well, I like to say I think the Lord duped me, and I think we all can say that about our vocations, right? Like, you know, He gives you this passion to do something, and then the longer you're in it, you see how God is purifying you of different things in your life that He's calling us to come closer to Him. But the call really was around providing care for people with dementia who are really most vulnerable in our culture and our society, and also seeing that when I started actually in the state of Minnesota, there really wasn't a lot of different models of care. We still had the kind of nursing home model, so the state really had an initiative asking people to step up and provide different options for care for people with memory care. So it was in that time. It's hard to believe now, 20 years later, how much we know about Alzheimer's. There's all different kinds of dementias now, the medications that are out there, and there's just now many options of care for families to choose for their loved ones. So different season, a different time in the history of this disease, often with my colleagues, and you know, there's many of us who say we grew up with Alzheimer's. We were in it in the early stages when we were still researching about what is it, what's happening in the brain, how do we interact with and relate with people with dementia and care for them long term. So I'm blessed to have been part of that historical journey, I guess, in some ways. But also St. Joseph, as you know, Patrick, I have a love for St. Joseph. And as a young, about in my teen years, I remember this love for St. Joseph. I don't know where it came from. And just also in particular, patron of the dying. And so that early on was where God kept kind of bringing me to this work. And I have been blessed to be by the bedside of hundreds of people in the last 20 years who are taking their final steps towards eternity. Yeah. Many faith, many different faiths and backgrounds. But I also want to say, it takes the team around me. It takes the doctors, the nurse practitioner, the RNs, our nursing aides, who are phenomenal nursing aides. And I'm blessed to have a core group of staff who have been with us some 18 years, 15 years, long time.
Wow, yeah.
And I think that speaks to their hearts and their love for individuals who have this a dementia diagnosis. So,
what's important to someone who has dementia in terms of the kind of care and facilities that you provide for them there at Gianna Homes?
You know, I was thinking about that. And when I first started, many of our listeners probably remember the beloved Bishop Dudley. Mm-hmm. And he had three sisters with Alzheimer's, right? And he would go every day to care for them, feed them lunch. And when I started Gianna Homes, he would call me regularly. And he said, Amory, we need this kind of care for people with Alzheimer's. And he said, we need the individual presence to care for them. It takes people. It takes that engagement and that personal interaction. And so I many times his calls, his affirmation, his really keep doing this. This is what we need in our world. I think that goes back to the core of what Gianna Homes is. We're small, as many know. We're very small, but we're high touch. And so we have a lot of staff that just really take the time to meet those needs and of each individual resident. And we take people with young onset, so we have people in their 50s, which takes something very different than you have somebody in their 90s, right? So again, goes back to our incredible nursing aides that just really take the time and have the love for each individual. And then being present, it's presence, right?
Right.
Which we're all seeking. So right. I think if that answers your question, I think that's the core kind of who we are.
How do I put it? It doesn't sound like rocket science that you need, but at the same time, the level of commitment that it takes is pretty profound, I would imagine.
You're incredibly correct. And I think that's where our culture gets a little caught up a little bit. It's
okay.
The simplicity of what we do every day. It's not science. It's not technology. It's really giving generously from our heart to be with another person. And isn't that compassion, right? That's what the Lord calls us to. It's that being with the broken. Not that I'm better than you, but I'm on this sojourn with you. And I have seen amazing things happen when somebody with advanced dementia or a young onset knows they're loved, knows that doesn't matter the day, the time, what their losses are, they know they're safe and they're wanted. We are known for taking people with very difficult behaviors. Just to see somebody who's been in, 30 different long-term care facilities or has had 4 30-day stints in a Geri psych unit, and our aides would say, we want them so we can love them. And I just love how they say that, and they bring that to the residents each day. So, kudos to them because it's not easy work. Repetitive behaviors or the demands or the lifting, the needing care with every aspect of life as they, progress through the disease. Which brings us to, the recent thing going on in our state around physician-assisted suicide.
Right.
And how passionately we are at Gianna Homes about making sure that that bill doesn't get passed. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you just saw Nevada where people with dementia being like the first target, right? Because they're the biggest drain on the Medicare, Medicaid system financially. There's also this sense of that it isn't the person I know, that there's no value. We forget that there's a soul, right? We just see what the cognitive losses are. And so really the fight and the maybe not the fight, but showing the joy and love of caring for another, caring for our neighbor can be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's how we become fully human ourselves, right? Is that when we truly give generously and engage with the other person. I don't even have the words because it breaks my heart when I'm sitting hearing compassionate choices or the other side, or even among our own residents, sometimes families are weary of caregiving and they're just like, how can we hurry this along, right? It's definitely something close and dear to my heart. It's hard to find words, but I want to have a voice for the vulnerable, have a voice for those who still want to know they're loved and we're not going to just dismiss them.
Okay. I do this occasionally with some of my guests, and since you're a friend, I'm gonna let it loose on you. So,
Is
playing devil's advocate for just for a moment here, and I want to say that I can totally get what you're saying. If it's a person who is just because of my own schedule, my own comfortability, my own convenience, caring for this person is a real drain on that. Well, yeah, obviously we should not encourage that sort of behavior. But what about this? What about, this is a person who is perhaps clearly suffering. There might be both physical and, who knows, maybe emotional and psychological suffering that's going along with that, right? Hand in hand. And they are kind of at their wit's end. Death is inevitable, and it's probably going to be death as a result of some of the deterioration that's going on within them. Why is it? Why is it that we can't offer them to speed that along? I want to go on record of saying I'm not advocating for this, but I want to hear Anne Marie's answer to this.
That's a thank you for putting me on the spot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I know what you're asking because in our culture, I don't think we see the full dignity of the person, and we've forgotten there's a God, right? God is the author of life and death. We aren't ones to get to choose how God navigates or asks us to purify us to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Finding my words here a little bit, as you know. So we don't get to choose that. What we get to say says, Lord, you have allowed the suffering in this person and in this family. I don't know what that is, but we get to come alongside them and offer our support, our love to support them in the journey. It's hard to watch that. I think that seeing it and being part of that for over 20 years, it is painful journey to watch somebody suffer like that. But there's two things I'd like to say. I think there's a futility of care. I think sometimes we do more than we need to if somebody has a chronic illness. So I think we have to use our science, our technology, our resources, the professional medical team around that individual to know where are they at? Where is there a futility of care going on? So I think there has to be a good good knowledge and good use of the talents and gifts each the professionals are around that person. The second would be, we're not God. How do we as professionals, and how do we coach families to help them understand that this person has value, that suffering has value, but only in the light of our Christian faith?
Yeah.
And that's hard thing. It's a hard thing to share with people when there is a lack of faith or understanding that God is the author of life and death.
I mean, just to jump in, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think right there is what I was thinking too, is that there is value in suffering, which it's a mystery, and it's hard, especially in today's day and age when, well, I would say for all ages, but especially now when we have so many technological innovations that help us pursue comfort and comfortability and avoiding suffering and that sort of thing, that we tend to lose the understanding of the value of suffering. And I would say not only the suffering of the individual who's in the bed, right, but also the sharing in that suffering of the loved ones who are around that, and the profound importance of what it means to suffer along with someone.
Agreed. And I think I've always said from years and years ago, I think God allows, I think, dementia in our time and culture because it is a disease that demands us and our selfishness to get out of ourselves to be there for the other.
Right.
It is a unique disease that in any situation, I look at a married couple, I look at a children to a parent an outside caregiver to, it is the everyday demand of, it is not about me, it is about them. Mm. And in a very self-centered, it's all about me culture, this is one of the hardest things for us to do for the other. And so, of course, we are going to euthanasia, because when we take love and twist it on its head and say love is, they wouldn't want to suffer like that, or if this person knew what they were like, I hear this all the time, if they knew they wouldn't want to live like this, if they knew this, if this is, you know, how they're existing in essence. Well, most of us as humans think about the things we'll do to heal, or the surgeries, or the suffering we'll go through, because we fight to live. So to say and write a living will or something like, okay, down the road, if my head's dropping in my oatmeal bowl and I have dementia, that's when you can say, okay, don't give me food and water. That's not us as human. But also, I want to be fully human means I'll participate in suffering. But I also think we need to look at palliative care better, because you hit on something really important. I would say Gianna Holmes is that. In today's world, in medicine, we are a palliative care. People come to us with an illness that there's no cure for. We are going to support them and keep them as comfortable and pain-free and as able to live fully and as much as they can cognitively live in their world with the progression of the disease. That's our role, to just kind of be a prosthetic all the way along the journey, right? So palliative care, we in the United States are blessed. We have the tools. We have the understanding, the science, to really help people not suffer needlessly. And I think that is something we need to discuss more. We need to be better on a provider, professional level, and making sure that's understood by families and those we care for. But also that there's a financial support, just like there is in hospice, that we're seeking to find a way that palliative care can maybe financially be supported, because that becomes the issue. It really comes down to what can we afford, right? So there's a lot of nuances to it, and I hope we answered your question. But it's not just a straight answer. It's a big puzzle.
No,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I recognize and can appreciate that it's a complicated issue, and I think that's one of the things too, with around the whole assisted suicide understanding, is that, I mean, I would always encourage people to, yes, come out in opposition to this bill, but at the same time, I would also say, but recognize the complexities of what's involved. It's not just as easy as, you know, just, okay, don't do it, and then we're done.
It is not that way. And having been on the front lines with families for years and being asked, can you euthanize my loved one? It rarely comes from a place, I want to kill them. But it comes from a place of, I can't endure the suffering anymore that I'm seeing. Mm. I'm weary. I'm tired. And I always look at that as, in me as the person they've collaborated with, how am I partnering with them? Am I there to help support the pain? So I think there's it's a whole nother conversation, something that I would love to chat more about, it's complex.
Well, believe it or not, our time is up. And but this has been a very fruitful and instructive conversation with you, Anne-Marie, as always. And especially, you know, we're coming up just around the corner here. We have All Saints and All Souls, where we remember those who have gone before us. And so there's so many things that that this can tie in, especially or even with our life of following after Jesus. So thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you so much for all that God has blessed you to be able to do, and also for joining us out here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick. I just want to say thank you to all who have supported us for this last 20 years, all of our friends, donors, families, my friends who have been a big support to this mission God has called those here at Gianna Homes too. So thank you.
Yeah. What's your website again?
www.giannahomes.org.
Perfect. Anne-Marie Hansen, President and CEO, thank you so much for joining us. And we are off into our next break. And when we come back, Dr. Mary Healy is with us, who's going to share with us about the upcoming Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office Conference. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Who is it?
Drew Mariani.
I look at everything.
I love listening to Drew Mariani.
From politics to the faith.
The issues of the day.
How do we keep our kids Catholic?
Healthcare reform.
North Korea.
How do we make it relevant to people who right now are so disconnected from the faith and from God?
U.S. immigration policy.
We need to become the saints that God created us to be. That's what we do here every day.
Thank you so much for your show.
It just enhances your faith.
I just love it.
Tell others. Follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button on the show page. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show, and you'll be able to get a lot of the articles, a lot of the discussion we talk about on the show.
It's always fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do here because every day it's something different. And I hope you will tell others about the show, and I hope you will have them listen on the station you're listening to or online at relevantradio.com or on our mobile app.
Keeping you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show. Stay up to date. Weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. There's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. Oh, the old has passed away, and the new has come. Praise God, it's a brand new day.
It is indeed a brand new day. Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, who's on maternity leave. Enzo Randazzo filling in for her today. And Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 a.m. in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now on the phone is Dr. Mary Healy, who's a professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit and an international speaker on topics related to healing, evangelization, scripture, and spiritual life, which is what we'll be talking with her about. And the editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, author of both the Gospel of Mark and Hebrews. Dr. Healy, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us. Thanks so much. So tell us a little bit about this upcoming Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office Conference in November and what your role in it is.
Well, my role is going to be to give several talks, and this conference is being put on by the Charismatic Renewal of St. Paul, Minneapolis, but it's not only for people who are in or have been in the Charismatic Renewal, because the reality is we were created, as human beings, we were created to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Christ, we are reborn so that we can walk in the Holy Spirit, who is the one who gives us power to be holy, the power to love others, especially those who are not so easy to love, and the power to bring Christ to others. And so we're meant to live in the victory of the resurrection of Jesus, and yet so many Catholics are not living that way. They're living in defeat as often as victory because they don't know how to access that resurrection power of Jesus that is in us, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So this conference is going to be about getting in touch with and being filled in a fresh way with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, wonderful. So you've already outlined this, I think, but let me just, for clarifying sake, what would you say is Catholic charismatic spirituality and what is it not?
Yeah, great question. Well, Catholic charismatic spirituality is, in reality, a dimension of the spirituality we're all to have as Catholics. because the very word charism is in the New Testament, and it's simply another word for gift of the Holy Spirit, free gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of us who have received the Holy Spirit in baptism have been given gifts of the Spirit that are meant to be for the building up of the body of Christ and for extending the gospel into the world among those who don't yet know Christ.
Mm.
And yet, unfortunately, so many Catholics don't know what spiritual gifts are, don't know that they have spiritual gifts, don't know which ones they have, don't know how to use them or how to discern them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're lacking something that belongs to the Christian life that Christ has given us. So we need to come to understand and live in the power of the Holy Spirit with his charisms. So that's essentially charismatic spirituality. What some people think is that it belongs only to one movement in the church, the charismatic renewal. It belongs only to people who are into certain forms of exuberant praise and worship or certain types of music, a certain type of spirituality. And there is the charismatic renewal is a movement, and it does have those aspects. And not everybody is called to be part of that movement. But everyone is called to know and live in the Holy Spirit and to experience his grace and his power on a daily basis. That's for all of us.
You're kind of saying my lines for me, Dr. Healy. I have to tell you that I've done, many of our listeners know that I'm also active with the Catherine of Siena Institute and they're called and gifted spiritual gifts discernment.
Oh, yes. Yes. They've done so much to help bring Catholics to an awareness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right. And so it definitely is that. How did you get started in talking on these topics specifically of the power of the Holy Spirit and the provision of the Holy Spirit in the world today?
Well, I've been talking about it in certain ways for a couple of decades now, but especially since I wrote a book on healing about 5 years ago, and then a book on the spiritual gifts called The Spiritual Gifts Handbook, because I really felt like the Lord led me in a particular way to study those two topics, healing and spiritual gifts in general, because I recognized there was a lot of ignorance about it, simply a lot of lack of understanding that was keeping many Catholics and many parishes as a whole from the full life that Christ has died to give us. So once I published those books, I started getting invitations to speak on it more and more.
Sure.
And it's just beautiful to see the fruit. It's so wonderful to see people come alive in the Spirit and say, "Oh, I never knew this before, and it's so exciting, and it's given me a new purpose for my life, and now I have a better idea of how the Lord is working through me for others." And it's just so wonderful to see that.
So I
see God do that.
Yeah. Another thing about me is that I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. I came from, most recently, just before my conversion, it was kind of an evangelical segment of the Protestant understanding and that sort of thing. And so I saw a fair amount of this around me. But just a question for you, too, is that what do you think it is that holds Catholics back from this? Or why don't Catholics oftentimes fully engage with everything that it means to be filled with the Spirit and living with the Spirit and that sort of thing?
Yes, I've thought and reflected on that and prayed about that a lot myself. And I think there are various reasons. One is that for many, they've never heard it. They've never heard their pastor talk about it. They haven't read anything on it. Now, of course, if you look more carefully, you find that it's everywhere. It's in the teaching of the fathers of the church. It's in the teaching of great theologians like St. Thomas. It's throughout the whole New Testament. It's in the teaching of the popes in the last 50 years, etc. But many people have actually still never heard it. And secondly, I think there can be a certain fear of fully surrendering to the Holy Spirit, because it means giving up control. It actually means allowing Jesus to take the reins of my life, to get into the driver's seat of my life. And, we don't know where he might take us, so that's scary.
That's definitely true.
It's the best thing you could ever do.
Yeah,
The more deeply you surrender, the more truly you become who you are, who God created you to be.
Right, right.
Because, you know, Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us is what we were designed for, each in a completely unique way, each according to our own distinct personality, our own distinct set of gifts, and yet having God act within us, move and act in us and through us, that's what we were designed for.
Amen to that. So what would you offer by means of advice to those who are skeptical about this sort of, either they have some of this fear or they're skeptical that, yeah, God really still works in these ways, that he does still heal people. He does still bring people back from the dead, that he still...
Yes, he does.
Yeah. What would you say to skeptics?
Amen. I would say God takes your questions and your doubts seriously. And you deserve good answers. So I would say, check it out. Do the research. Look into the teaching of all the recent popes, from Paul VI through John Paul II, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis. Look at what they say about the charismatic dimension of the Church and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look at books by solid Catholic authors who talk about even the miraculous, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even check out stories that have been confirmed and documented of people being miraculously healed, and as you said, even raised from the dead. God is doing these things in our time. And when people seek with a sincere heart, they will find there's good, strong evidence for all those things. Mm. And yes, there are also, you know, claimed healings that didn't actually happen. There are fake healings, etc. But don't let the existence of the fake blind you to the real. You know, the evil one is always trying to discredit what God does. But right. we can't buy into the lies of the evil one and say, well, you know, since there are fake healings, therefore there are no real healings. No, there are. There are healings and miracles, extraordinary things that the Lord is doing in our time, precisely because there's so many lost and walking in darkness. And the Lord so deeply desires to reach them.
Yeah, there is.
He desires to use us.
There's a fundamental, I guess I'm stating the obvious here, but there's a fundamental evangelistic element in all of this, isn't there?
Yes, there certainly is. And you see in the early church, as it's portrayed in the Acts of the Apostles, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were largely for evangelization. They had their native home in the proclamation of the gospel. And likewise, evangelization was almost always accompanied by signs and wonders, healings and miracles. And you see it, for instance, at the end of the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is just about to ascend into heaven, he gives them the Great Commission, go proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And then he says, essentially, this is the power by which it's going to convince people's hearts.
Right.
You're going to lay your hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. You're going to cast out demons. And he ascends into heaven and says, they went out and proclaimed the gospel. They did what he said, and the Lord worked with them so that the message they preached was accompanied by signs and wonders that confirmed it.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, right?
Yes, those words are for us too, not just for the disciples in the first century.
That's right. So we're speaking with Dr. Mary Healy, who's a keynote speaker and leader of many talks at the Fall Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office Conference. It's going on November 16th and 17th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Information and online registration is available on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. And click on the events tab and you'll see it there. The cost is $75, seniors for $50, and students, religious and ordained, $25. So you can register online for that. Dr. Healy, just one final thing from you. Is there anything that you would say to encourage people to come to this, to check it out, as you were saying before?
Yes, I would say if you feel a kind of wavering and maybe there's a little fear there in your heart, but you also feel drawn, you feel attracted, and you feel like you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life, you want to find out more, you have nothing to lose. Check it out. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you through this conference, and I think you will not be disappointed. You will be touched by the Lord in a whole new way and come to know the gifts that God has given you that are going to be a great joy for you to begin to use.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Healy, for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you and all you do.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you, too.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, as always, Paul and I have information about all sorts of upcoming events that will be going on here in the local area to get you closer to your Lord, Jesus Christ. Stay with us.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date. Worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Peter Arm, 651-235-0065, or visit us on the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Covered some important things today, Paul. A lot of things on the show, just important things.
Just tons and tons.
I know, right? I'm impressed. We have some
one
very
of them
articulate
is discerning
guests.
And using your charisms. That can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church and how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. Risen Savior Burnsville invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop Saturday, November 9th, 9 to 5. To register, visit the events page at archsbm.org.
You're invited to the prayer and listening events hosted throughout the Archdiocese, which will provide the broadest opportunity for input for all Catholics in the Archdiocesan Synod process. These events will be part prayer and part catechesis and part listening session. They are opportunities to discern together the pastoral concerns that may become topics of discussion or pastoral priorities for the Synod. A full listing of dates, times, and locations can be found on the events page at archsbm.org. The first event in November will be November 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. at St. Wenceslaus in New Prague.
Join Father John Eckert in a four-week Bible study series on the apocalypse and kingship of Christ, starting Wednesdays, November 13th through December 11th in Hayden Hall, lower level of the Cathedral of St. Paul. There won't be class November 27th. The series is particularly timely because it coincides with the end of the liturgical year, which closes with the Feast of Christ the King, and the start of Advent, which focuses on the apocalypse and the return of Christ. Cost $20 per person. That includes lecture materials, large group Q&A, and a snack. Register online by visiting the events page at archsbm.org.
Join the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office for its annual conference taking place at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville Saturday, November 16th and Sunday, November 17th. Keynote speaker Dr. Mary Healy, a scripture scholar, teaches at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. She speaks on healing, evangelization, scripture, and the spiritual life. The theme is Resurrection Power, Proclaiming the Gospel with Signs and Wonders. For more information, events page at archsbm.org or go to ccro-msp.org. Cost is $75 per person. Seniors, $50, $25 for students, religious, and ordained.
High school youth are invited to celebrate our Catholic faith at the Archdiocesan Youth Day. Join Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins at Archdiocesan Youth Day Saturday, November 16th, 1:30 to 9 at St. Thomas Academy, Mendota Heights. The day includes Mass, opportunities for reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration activities, service projects, dinner, and more. Registration is by group only. Talk to your parish youth minister or high school campus minister. If you have questions, call Bill Dill, 651-291-4553. Or email him at dillb@archsbm.org.
On the next Rediscover Hour, I'm just going to say this. Lots of stuff for young adults. That's what it's all about. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. every step, every journey. They're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.